It's 8 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Saturday morning. And again, good morning to you as we come your way with the Saturday morning show. And coming into this last holiday weekend of the year, a lot of things to talk about as far as activity. Still some county fairs, not the sandwich fair this year. It's along with the other county fairs that have been canceled because of the COVID-19 situation. We would normally be looking forward to broadcasting from the sandwich fair. Won't happen this year. So we'll talk about Farm Progress Show coming up next week. Not really, but it's virtual. And so Max Armstrong will provide you with the information on how you can watch the virtual Farm Progress Show next week, September 15, 16, and 17. And a lot of other activities that won't be happening, but it's going to be a new experience for a lot of the shows like Farm Progress and Husker Harvest Days and Sunbelt Expo and the Big Iron Show and all of those other outdoor agricultural shows that will be done virtually because of, you know what, COVID-19 that has really changed life for just about all of us here on the planet. As a matter of fact, one of the things I always check when I come in early in the morning is the worldwide count on coronavirus. And the numbers get a little scary because the story this morning, more than 26,680,000 people have been reported to be infected by the novel coronavirus globally, and 874,000 have died, according to the Reuters tally. Infections have now been reported in more than 210 countries and territories since the first cases were identified in China in December of 2019. So with the soybean price and the Wall Street price and everything else that we cover, we have to add to that the coronavirus infection count and the death count. Some pretty high numbers. Jim Fazell is going to talk some numbers too about bugs and mosquitoes, because the mosquitoes, as we'll find out, have shown up a little bit later than usual for this summer. They haven't affected my backyard here in Huntley, Illinois, at least haven't been bitten by any of them, but we're getting a lot of reports that the mosquitoes have taken over some of the areas here in Chicagoland. So Jim Fazell will join us to talk about that and maybe some ideas on what you can do to protect yourself when we come your way on the Saturday morning show. I keep asking the question, where did this summer go? I think it was eaten up by COVID-19 and the pandemic and everything else, because here we are in the month of September, and time to say good morning to Jim Fazell.
Good morning, Orion. You're right. The summer just flew away. We were busy all summer in spite of all the other stuff that was going on, and it scurried past. And this is the first weekend of meteorological autumn. Of course, the solar autumn starts in about 2.5 weeks. Nonetheless, this is Labor Day weekend. We normally consider this the end of the summer season, whether we've had any difficulties or not during the year. And it's a change. The weather changes. Our activities change. Even though a lot of the kids are still at home and learning at home online, a lot of schools have opened. There are just a lot of things that begin at Labor Day weekend. Also, the weather is usually more conducive to being outdoors. This weekend is going to be just about perfect for a holiday. I can remember some Labor Day weekends when it was fiercely hot, and we're not going to have that. We're not going to have torrential rains, although there's a possibility of a little moisture coming, and we certainly do need that. A couple of things I want to talk about. We spend a lot of time outdoors, always do, but this year we've had really a dearth of insect problems until now. Mosquitoes have appeared some places, in some areas, pretty vigorously, even though we have not had a lot of moisture. Our rainfall throughout the entire summer has been quite below normal. But they're very problematic early in the morning or in the evening. If you're going to sit out on the patio in the evening or have dinner out on your patio at 8 o'clock or so, and it's already getting dark, you're going to be bothered by mosquitoes in some areas. And of course, they can carry West Nile and other viruses, so we need to avoid them. In addition to the annoying itching bites, things to do: get inside where you have screens. You can still enjoy the weather. Use bug sprays in the area, but these don't last very long. And be sure to wear your proper clothing. You can wear things with long sleeves and long pants, but then you're also going to need some kind of one of the bug sprays on the exposed surfaces. Incidentally, it's not a good idea to spray your face with this stuff, but if you put it on your hands and wipe your face cautiously and keep it out of your eyes, nose, and mouth, that works fine. DEET's probably the best one, although there are some others on the market. Now, one other thing I want to talk about as far as insects are concerned, and you know I have talked about this a little bit, yellow jackets. Out in great numbers right now. Now, these
ambitious.
Are wasps. They look like honeybees, but they're not. If you take a close look, you'll find that they're a little more slender. They're black instead of brown stripes on them, and they're not furry like a honeybee. Honeybees they kind of tend to themselves. They don't sting very often unless you trap them. But these crazy things are going to compete with the things that you have, especially if you're having a picnic. They want meat, protein for their kids, the larvae that they're trying to raise. And they live on sugar for themselves. That gives them the energy. They're aggressive. They're going to protect their nests, which could often be a hole in the ground or in the lawn, and we've had a few of those around in our area already this year. So you need to eliminate these nests in the frequent spots where you're going to encounter them. We always find that 7 insecticide, particularly the dust, and I'm talking about the Carbaryl, not the, you know, we've had a difficult time with brand names. Things like 7 aren't necessarily Carbaryl anymore, so you have to look at the label. A lot of materials now are using those as common names for our almost brand names, but the chemical that's in these things can change. So the one you want to use is the one that's Carbaryl. You want to spray the nest with this, or dust the nest with this, in the evening after they've all gone to bed. If you try to do it during the daytime, you are definitely going to get stung. If you're eating outdoors and these things start to become a problem, you need to move indoors if you can, because they're going to fight you for that hamburger or for that can of pop. And since they can sting over and over again, they can be pretty vicious. Keep the food covered if you're outdoors until you're ready to eat. If you have a can of pop out there, especially sugary pop, put a cover on it so the wasps can't get inside. I do know of cases where people have taken a sip of pop and there was one inside and they got it in their mouth. That's rather inconvenient. Another thing you don't want to do is wear perfume or brightly colored clothing if you're going to be out where these things are around. And they can get caught in your clothing as well. If you do get one of these caught in your clothing, the best thing to do is to try to roll it up. Don't squash it because you get stung again. Roll it up in your clothing somehow or another and squeeze it if you can. That will kill it. If you can't do that, sometimes you need to disrobe. And both Jane and I have been in situations where that was probably not the most convenient, but the safest thing to do, where you kind of remove some of your clothing discreetly to get rid of this stupid little thing. So they're problematic. They can be a real problem, and they do sting. And if you have a lot of them stinging you over and over, it can make you quite sick. Incidentally, if you are stung, one of the things that can help is put some ice on that sting right away. These creatures do not leave the stinger the way bees do, so you don't have to worry about that. My good friend Bill Sheringhausen, who's a longtime pharmacist and avid golfer, always tells me the best thing to do if you're going to be out where there are these little creatures that can sting you is to carry a bright, shiny penny. If you get a sting, you push the penny on it for 30 seconds. For some reason or another, it takes the sting out of the thing, and I would never have believed it, but it does work. So there are some things that you can do about it. The best thing to do is to avoid being stung. If you are stung and you begin to get swelling or breathing problems, run. Do not walk to the nearest medical facility, because some of these stings can cause you some serious problems. And if you get a lot of stings, they can even be fatal. So don't risk that. Now, there are some things going on out in the garden right now. It's still time to plant some greens or radishes. And if you started the coles, like the broccoli or cauliflower, if you started that earlier this year, as we suggested, that can be put out now. And it's also time to begin cutting back the spent annuals, the ones that have finished flowering. Which reminds me, we've been doing that, and we've been doing some dividing. We've been dividing iris and discovered that we have our share of iris borers out there. When you dig these plants up to divide them, you need to cut all this damaged rhizome off of those, separate these iris plants apart. You can't do anything about killing those things now because they've pupated already, but you can clean them out, dig them out of the ground so that they're not going to mature next year. Next year, I think when these things get to be about 4 inches tall, there are some things that you can spray on them to prevent them from being reinfested. Lawn repairs? The thing that has happened right now is lack of rain, and a lot of these lawn repairs, and, you know, we talked about it a few weeks ago, a lot of people have tried that, and the grass hasn't germinated. That's because it hasn't had any moisture. Now, I've covered some of the areas that I repaired with this mat or straw, and they're up very nicely, but the areas that weren't covered are just sitting there waiting for moisture. Not much you can do about it except wait. Or put some mat on it, water it a little bit, and maybe you can speed up the germination process and get your grass growing. Last thing I want to mention today is to keep up with journaling, especially if you're beginning to take some of your perennials out. Take photos of the garden, if nothing else, or make a map of the garden, identifying each kind, color, and size of whatever you have out there. And be sure that you include new plants and changes that you're making if you've already made a map earlier this year. So those are some things that need to be done. It's a great weekend, 3 days of it. Our weather's going to be great. May have a little bit of moisture, which we need. But we're in for some really nice weather, so we need to enjoy this great Labor Day weekend. And we know winter will be on us too soon. So let's get out and enjoy what we've got now.
And a quick question from a caller this week who wanted to know if this is a good time to plant trees.
Yes, we're coming into tree planting season, as a matter of fact. And we're going to talk about that in a week or two, exactly how to select trees and where to get them, how to plant them. So if you keep listening, whoever asked that question, we're going to be talking about that presently. If you can't wait for that and you want to plant a tree right now, no problem. Go out and get the tree. They're available in the nurseries and garden centers, and it's time to do that. They pretty well have gone dormant. They're not doing any more growing, although they're staying green. So they can be dug at this time of year and transplanted very nicely. Good time to do it. I'm glad we got the question, and we will be discussing it further later.
In the meantime, you and Jane stay away from yellow jackets and mosquitoes and bees and all of the other things. Don't let them spoil your weekend, sir.
No, anybody else either. You folks have a great weekend. You too, Orion.
All right, Jim Fazell, he's with us every weekend during the growing season to talk about plants and planting and repairing lawns and all of that. He's our specialist in ornamental horticulture here on the Saturday Morning Show. It's 25 minutes after 5 o'clock here on the Saturday Morning Show, and the temperature, very comfortable, 62 degrees on my thermometer on the back patio here in Huntley, Illinois. The week's trade in agricultural commodities, not too bad as we ended the week yesterday with strength in corn and in soybeans. And every year, Allendale, that's the analysis brokerage commodity firm in McHenry County, survey farmers and get their feeling on what the crop yields will be. Because, as I've said many times, until that crop is in the bin, it's not a final crop. But the farmer survey conducted by Allendale came out with the results this week. And that survey, according to this survey of farmers, showed that they expect a 2020 corn yield at 178.2 bushels per acre. The survey forecast the 2020 soybean yield at 51.9 bushels per acre. Allendale projected 2020 corn production at 14,980 million bushels, soybean production at 4,311 million bushels. The yield survey conducted from August 17 to 28 based on producer calculated yields in 27 states covering 87% of corn production and 85% of soybean production. And we were probably sailing along to bigger yields per acre and bigger total production until about almost 3 weeks ago now, when the derecho moved from Nebraska across the heart of the Midwest to Ohio and took out quite a bit of production, as the crop tour that was taken earlier discovered. And so we are going to wait until it's all in the bin before we really know, when we get the final figures in January of next year. So we'll keep an eye on that. Incidentally, the new marketing year for this crop is underway. The marketing year started on September 1st, and it will go through harvest, and the numbers will be coming out then. The Farm Credit Association, the Farm Credit System, had a meeting this week and came out with a release that said it's encouraging, the Farm Credit Administration is encouraging Farm Credit System institutions to work with system borrowers who have been affected by the recent hurricanes and wildfires. System institutions can alleviate the stress of borrowers affected by natural disasters in several ways, extending the terms of an loan repayment program, restructuring borrowers' debt obligations, and easing some loan documentation or credit extension terms for new loans to certain borrowers. Glenn Smith, who is the board chairman and CEO of the Farm Credit Administration, said natural disasters are among the challenges that farmers and ranchers face, over which they have no control. And he said system institutions have considerable flexibility under FCA regulations to provide disaster relief by extending loan repayments and offering other concessions. They can greatly alleviate the financial stress caused by natural disasters. And we've certainly had them this year because of the California wildfires and the Colorado wildfires that hit in late July, and then the tropical storms that hit the Gulf and also the East Coast has wreaked havoc along the East Coast, spawning devastating tornadoes. And then the powerful derecho struck parts of Iowa, damaging over 10 million tornadoes on August. It was unbelievable to people that I've talked to, and the director of agriculture for the state of Iowa, who said over 10 million acres of crops, including 40% of Iowa's corn and soybeans. And then we have seen the hurricanes, and they've spawned tornadoes, and yes, there indeed are natural disasters, but the Farm Credit Administration system will be working with you if you have been impacted with your loan program. 5:31 here on the Saturday morning show, and we'll continue with the look at news. So, my question for you this week is, are you ready? Are you ready for the phone calls, the emails, and the regular mail that we're going to receive asking you this question? Who are you going to vote for president on Tuesday, November 3rd? Well, frankly, I'm a little surprised there are still quite a few polling companies in business, especially after they failed miserably 4 years ago in calling the outcome of the election. But yes, here they are again. They want to know from you who you will vote for on November 3rd. And I'll say, frankly, when I get a phone call asking me who I'm going to vote for, I respond one of two ways. Number one, I tell them for me to participate in a presidential election survey, I charge $150. Or I go on to say nothing and just hang up. I don't answer because I'm not sharing my preference with any polling company. And, of course, this outcome of the election this year is important to us, but I think it's important to us that we vote. And so far, the only poll survey I've seen that I put a little faith in is a poll of United States farmers. A little more than 1,000 of them across the country were surveyed by a farm publication and asked, who are you going to vote for in the election? The response of the farmers who were questioned, 75%, said they would vote for the incumbent, Donald Trump. But then my next question is, what will they do when they walk into that voting booth November? You and I have to wait, of course, till after November 3rd, maybe even a little bit longer before we get that final count. But as far as polling questions on who will I vote for, I simply don't tell them. I'm going to wait till the election day to see how my vote matches up with the other votes. And, well, you do whatever you want, but you have the choice. My thoughts on Samuelson Says. And 20 minutes before 6 o'clock, time for us to take a look at how we traded this week in agricultural commodities. Not a bad week, as we learn from Mike Pearson and his guest here on the Saturday Morning Show.
Joining us this week is Sue Martin from Ag and Investment Services out of Clarion, Iowa. Sue, thanks for taking the time to chat with us this week.
Oh, I'd love it.
Well, I tell you what, we are getting down to the final stretch on this new crop, corn and soybeans out in the field. Has the market come to a consensus on yield, in your opinion, Sue, on this corn crop?
I think the market is still searching. I think after the derecho storm and the drought kept getting worse and encompassing more area, I think that the trade started to realize that probably NAS will lower the yield here in this September 11th report. Mm-hmm. But they know it's going to be less. It's a matter of how much less. Probably the one thing that I would have to say we were blessed in this year was coming into the spring with good subsoil moisture, and I think that might be a saving grace for this crop.
You know, I think you're exactly right. I saw a post on Facebook. Guy did a root pit. Roots were down 9, almost 10 feet because they were able to follow that moisture down.
Yes.
But that does make estimating yield that much harder for traders and farmers.
It does. You know, we're in an area where we're very dry. In June, we had an inch and I think about an inch and 3/10. In July, 3/4 inch. Here in August, between two different rains, an inch and a quarter. And I went out into our cornfields and looked at ears, and I was surprised, very little tip back, and the kernel depth is nice. Now, maybe not, didn't see any 18 rows around, all 16 rows, but the kernel was nice and, of course, dented now and coming home very quickly.
It is, and growers are watching these markets. We're seeing some volatility. We're seeing some movement to the upside, at least against earlier pressures from earlier this year. When should folks be looking at pulling the trigger? What price targets do you have in mind on new crop corn?
Well, I think here's some interesting things. First off, on new crop corn, we had an outside range month in August, both in beans and corn. And we got to a wave count projection of wave one, which you always go right to the penny pretty much on those, and that was 364 and a quarter. And now we're getting a little correction from that, which we should. 380 and a half is the next projection. The question mark will be, do we go for a wave three? That is 411. And here's the interesting thing. January high on December corn is 404 and three quarters. I went back to 1969 and took every year to see how many times did we not exceed that January high. There were only 4 years. And, of course, two of them, 1985, 86, that was a recession, farm recession, not anyone else, but right. Agriculture. And then the next one was the year of 2001. And I think you maybe were coming off the cusp of a currency problem around the sure. world and situation. And then the next one was 2013, coming after the drought of 2012. You know, stocks increased. Carryouts increased, and the market had a more of a negative tone. So the question mark is this year, okay, you've got the COVID-19 kind of creating the yep. economy to slow a little bit, but you also have the weather on the other hand kind of creating a situation. I think what this year does is it sets the stage for next year's weather to be very important.
On the soybean side, we're dealing with that same drought. We're kind of running out of gas as the season comes to an end. What are your price targets here for growers as they're looking at a bean field that they're not quite sure what it's going to yield?
Well, I think that for soybeans, we have to keep in mind we've already made a higher high this year than last year. We did that in January. But I do think that the bean market's trying to come back up. To test that high, which is 982 and three quarters. The we've done wave counts in a smaller count on if we took it on a daily. Those have been fulfilled. Now we're moving into a weekly, which spreads your projections out. 954 and a half was a wave two. And those tend to give you a little chatter. So the market will bounce around in here, chop a little bit. And then as we get into the government report, we'll see the quarterly stocks is what's going to probably be more of a market mover at the end of the month. But I would have to say coming up around 993, 1013, 1019, extreme, and I mean extreme, 1040. But we're going to have to see continued good Chinese buying, which I think we will. China's been hitting various places around the world, setting up deals to be able to move nicely, to be able to keep grain moving into them. And I think that we will also see that China is doing a very aggressive campaign of buying beans out of Brazil. They're even working into 2022. And that's pretty interesting that when you see farmers so aggressively sold, which I think is a good thing for our farmers, to have Brazil getting oversold or aggressively sold. They're moving into La Nina, starting off with a dry season planting. Things may not go as well for them as they have been. But I think that if we can get some drop in yield, I don't see beans dropping as aggressively as probably corn. Traders have this attitude, you know, you can't fix corn when damage is done, but soybeans you could. But there's a lot of bean fields turning, and once they turn or start that turn, you aren't going to fix the yield too much.
That's true. Now, you mentioned Chinese purchases. We've seen China making a lot of purchases recently, yes. both of corn and of soybeans. They've been continuing their buying, as well as pork. When you look at the pork market, Sue, we've been down in the dumps here since COVID hit. Is there a light at the end of this tunnel, do you think?
Well, I think there is. My opinion's not a popular one right now. I believe that the hog market probably has put a low in here for a while. And while we do have abundant numbers, no doubt. I think China's buying is becoming more aggressive with pork. They have food inflation that's quite high. I think that when I look at our numbers of pigs that were aborted or euthanized. I think that our numbers, they'll still be decent come fall. You know, October's pork month. Mm-hmm. But I do believe when I look at a monthly chart on the hogs, October's especially, I find that in going all the way back to 1971, when you take out the lower Bollinger Bands on the monthly chart, you'll turn around and congest and start to move back towards the 20-month moving average, which is $60.
All right. Well, something to keep an eye on there in the hog market. Well, Sue Martin, Ag and Investment Services, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
It is 10 minutes before 6 o'clock. Temperature here in Huntley, Illinois, outside my studio, 62 degrees as the sun begins to make an arrival on our part of the world, and not too long a time before we'll see some sunshine, and I think some pretty good weather for the weekend. Let me enlarge just a little bit on what Mike Pearson and his guest were talking about a minute or so ago. Increasing Chinese demand lifted soybean futures to their highest prices in more than 2 years yesterday, while corn futures rose on concerns about U.S. crop damage from adverse weather. But the USDA said private exporters sold 318,000 tons of U.S. soybeans to China and 175,000 tons of soybean meal to the Philippines, all for delivery in the current marketing year, which started September 1st. And it was the second consecutive day the USDA reported that China, the world's top soybean importer, had booked U.S. cargoes. Because China, interestingly enough, is going through some concern about food security because of the African swine fever that attacked the hog herd in China over the past year and a half and wiped out nearly half of the pork industry in China. Pork is an important part of the Chinese food diet, and so the government of China has, in order to cut down on food security risks, a big buyer of corn and pork in addition to soybeans. An analyst from the National Australia Bank in Melbourne said China is supporting global prices, at least in the short term. Interesting to watch. Well, the COVID-19 has impacted county fairs and state fairs and outdoor farm shows, including one that's coming up next week, Farm Progress Show, scheduled for Boone, Iowa. But it will be a virtual show this year, and we learn more about it and how you can watch it by checking in with our good friend and compatriot. But anyway, our thanks to Max Armstrong, who has spent the last week or so in Boone, Iowa. And so let's find out from Max what this year's Farm Progress Show will look like.
Well, Orion, this week, as we were at Boone, Iowa, doing the video recording for the Farm Progress virtual experience that'll be coming up September 15th, 16th, and 17th, I was doing a little reminiscing of when you and I had been on stage together at the Rio Farm Progress Show, and I have some photographs of this. Many years ago, you could see the DeKalb winged ear in the background as they sponsored our involvement at the Farm Progress Show. Well, this year, DeKalb Asgrow will be a part of the virtual experience, too, as we hear from Colin Pennington. Colin is the Marketing Communications Manager for DeKalb Asgrow, joining us here this morning.
You bet, Max. And we're really looking forward to, you know, tackling this event and what has become the new normal for so many of us in a virtual experience, and excited to be part of the first virtual Farm Progress experience. And from a DeKalb and Asgrow perspective, launching what we call Chasing the Dream, and that's really an online opportunity for folks to visit, whether it be your desktop computer or mobile phone, iPhone, tablet, and really continue to get some of the same agronomic updates, product updates from the DeKalb and Asgrow brands as we head into this harvest season and start thinking about 2021. But also experience content in a new and different way and have a little bit of fun with it as we kind of tie into that baseball theme, and obviously knowing that as we would have been coming to Boone this year and Major League Baseball would have been playing a game at the Field of Dreams movie site in Dyersville. We really embraced the opportunity to do something unique and different. And while we certainly are disappointed we can't all be there together in person, I think the virtual experience will be a lot of fun for everybody as we head into trying this out for the first time.
Am I correct in my understanding there'll be the opportunity to participate in live chats? In other words, as a grower, if you have some questions, you can get them answered right there.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, what we mean when we say virtual, it doesn't mean we have to give up some of that live experience. And so we've got a great opportunity for some of our technical agronomists from around the region. We'll spend a couple of hours each day live on the platform, whether it be via video or just via keyboard, you know, covering some of the key topics and also answering some of the key questions from growers, as we really want to make sure that, you know, despite some of the challenges that we have and being able to get together in some of the larger group settings like we typically would, that we still got an opportunity for folks to get their questions answered and, you know, really digest some of the things that have happened this season, especially when you think about we face challenges every year, and 2020 clearly is no different. And so just want to be sure that folks have an outlet to ask those questions if they're not doing it already with their local teams, and give them an opportunity to find the solutions that are going to work for them.
Yeah, you can register starting Tuesday, fps2020experience.decalbasgrow.com. Thanks, Colin.
Thanks, Max.
Colin Pennington there joining us, the DeKalb Asgrow Marketing Communications Manager. Let me give you that URL one more time, fps2020experience.decalbasgrow.com.
All right, and we'll be repeating that address, that internet address, several times before we get to the opening of the show. And again, you'll have an interesting opportunity to see the Farm Progress Show from a different view. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Max yesterday, and he said one of the interesting additions to the Farm Progress Show will be the use of drones over the harvest fields that the combines are operating during the show. And not only will you have that during the show, but it'll still be available probably for a month or so after the show to get a closer look at the machines that will be doing the harvesting. And they've already harvested a lot of the hay crop, and of course they'll be harvesting more during Husker Harvest Day. But again, both Farm Progress Show and Husker Harvest Days, normally held a week apart, will be September 15, 16, and 17, a virtual show that you'll have the opportunity to see. We're approaching the Labor Day weekend, the crop year coming to an end. But I want to share with you a message I got this week from the Farm Credit System, who came up with an interesting approach and a theme to follow for this Labor Day. So let me quote, "Labor Day is a day to celebrate the achievements of the millions of men and women who keep America running. So this year, don't forget to thank a farmer. About 2.6 million Americans work directly on a farm, but nearly 20 million more work in food and other agricultural-related industries. Farming and ranching are certainly not your average 9-to-5 job. It's sun up to sundown and sometimes all night long. Farming is a lifetime of commitment to caring for animals or producing a sustainable crop. It's boots on the ground work that requires equal measures of grit and grace and a little bit of good luck." And the communique goes on to say, despite the immense challenges that they have been presented with this year, America's farmers and ranchers have continued to work every day in order to provide America with the most affordable, abundant, and safest food supply in the world. American agriculture keeps our grocery store shelves stocked even in the midst of crisis and supports our rural economies. That's why we've made it our work to support America's farmers and ranchers. So thanks to the crop insurance people for sharing this idea on how you can participate in agriculture on this Labor Day weekend. And that's about our time for the Saturday morning show, but we'll be here again next week, and we want to thank you for joining us.